Well, good afternoon. Good to see all of you here. At least we're having a mild winter. Well, brethren, I'd like to begin today by reading a portion of an article by Dr. William Cohen, who is a retired U.S. Air Force Major General, and he's now the president of the California Institute of Advanced Management and the Institute of the Leader Arts. And I came across an article that Dr. Cohen wrote on the internet, and I actually contacted him and asked him for permission to use excerpts from this article in this message today, and he granted it to me. Now, I'm not going to read the entire article, but let me preface it by saying that a former student of Dr. Cohen, her name is Debbie, had asked him, she had come to him, and she asked him about a situation that she was facing at work. She was working for a nonprofit company that solicits funds for charity, but there were questionable tactics that one of the telephone solicitors was using. They were acting like they were sick or coughing, and it would garner sympathy. And there were other things that were going on with her supervisor. But it was all rationalized because it's a nonprofit charitable company, so it's for a good cause. But Debbie was conflicted about this. And so she came to Dr. Cohen, and here are some excerpts from what he told her. So this is when I say Debbie, I'm reading what he says. He said, "Debbie," I said, "I spent almost 8 years in researching and interviewing combat leaders who went on to highly successful careers in industry, including 62 generals and admirals. I personally have interviewed dozens of other highly successful corporate leaders. Almost every single individual I surveyed or interviewed spoke about integrity as being the most significant factor in successful leadership in or out of the military. You may not realize it, but most of us are leaders. Sure, business people are leaders, but so are teachers, politicians, coaches, salespeople, parents, and even solicitors of funds for nonprofits. And I would add, all of us are leaders, brethren." Continuing the article, "When you convince someone to do something, like be a donor for a worthwhile cause, you are a leader. Once a leader starts lying or failing to do what he or she knows to be right, even to make a difficult job easier, or to do a better job for a good cause, that leader loses personal credibility, not only to others, but to himself. If you can't perform your job with integrity, my advice would be to get out as soon as you can." "But is this practical?" asked Debbie. "I mean, I can see that theoretically what you say is true, but I have to eat, and I have to think of myself and my family as well." Dr. Cohen continues, "Debbie, integrity means adherence to a set of values that incorporate honesty and freedom from deception. But it is more. It means doing the right thing regardless of circumstances and benefits. It means doing the right thing even if no one is looking. Have you heard of Mildred Babe Zacharias?" he asked, and Debbie had not. Zacharias was a champion in the 1932 Olympics and later a professional golfer. On one occasion, she penalized herself 2 strokes when she accidentally played the wrong ball during a tournament. "Why did you do it?" asked a friend. "No one saw you. No one would have known the difference." "I would have known," replied Babe Zacharias. Babe Zacharias was a champion of integrity. And she is not the only leader to sacrifice in order to do the right thing. A few years ago, Leonard Roberts became the CEO of Arby's, a fast food restaurant. It was losing money, but Roberts turned the company around. He was later fired by the owner of Arby's after making a stand for promised bonuses for his staff and promise help to the franchises. Roberts went from the frying pan and into the fire. He was hired as CEO of Shoney's, headquartered in Nashville, Tennessee. To his dismay, he found that Shoney's was the subject of the largest racial discrimination suit in history. After becoming CEO, Roberts promised that the suit would be settled fairly. Shoney's owner agreed to pay up and settle, but only if Roberts would resign afterwards. When I interviewed Roberts, Dr. Cohen continues, he told me, quote, "My stand on integrity was getting a little hard on my wife and kids. However, I knew it had to be done. There was no other way." Debbie, Roberts became CEO of Radio Shack, and a year after that, CEO of Tandy, which owns Radio Shack. Later, Brand Week magazine named him Retailer of the Year. Many leaders of integrity are like that. They succeed in the end because of their integrity, even though it's hard on them or on their families when they are forced to take a stand. Many get fired, but most will tell you that it doesn't make any difference whether they win or lose. They are simply going to do the right thing anyway. Those are the kind of leaders everyone wants to follow. Some weeks later, I got a call from Debbie. She said, "Last week my boss told me to lie on some results we got on a direct mail campaign. I refused and he threatened to fire me. I still refused. Anyway, he got someone else to do it. I was waiting to get my notice to leave when the other person got caught. He spilled the whole thing to my boss's boss. They fired my boss. It turns out that this whole unethical thing was due to his influence, and it's not what top management wanted at all. Now we're having special meetings on ethics." "What happened to the employee that actually lied?" I asked. "Well, he got off with a warning, but the general feeling is that he won't go any further in our organization. No one trusts him." "How do you feel?" I asked. Dr. Cohen asked. "Great," answered Debbie. "No one knows I was ordered and refused to lie. But I know it. It has changed my whole outlook on everything. I mean, now I know what I am made of and how far I'll go to do what is right. And the answer is all the way." Dr. Cohen continues, "Debbie learned that integrity is not about profit. It's not even about whether you have the right to do something under the law or not. Integrity is about doing the right thing, whether it is in your personal interest or whether someone is watching or not." The preceding material was used with the permission of William Cohen, brethren. So I thought this article would be a great introduction to a message today about personal integrity. Let's also add in Webster's definition of integrity as a supplement to what Dr. Cohen says in his article. Integrity, Webster says, is soundness of moral principle and character, uprightness, honesty. You see, brethren, integrity is consistently doing the right thing, even when it is difficult to do so, even when there may be a high price. Today we're going to explore this subject of integrity. And let's begin by seeing some of the benefits of practicing integrity as God reveals them to us in His Word. Let's begin in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9, and we'll look at this first benefit of integrity, which is security. And we'll read Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. "He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known." There is security in telling the truth and in controlling your tongue and avoiding sins that will eventually come out. And I speak to you and I speak to me about telling the truth and about controlling your tongue and avoiding sins about truly being who you appear to be. Here's a quote from Mark Twain that you probably heard. He's talking about honesty. He says, "Speaking honestly is better. It takes a lot of stress out of our lives. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. But if you don't tell the truth, you have to remember what you said." How true that is. How we can get wrapped up in our own web. As Solomon says, "He who perverts his ways will become known." There is security in following it, integrity, truly following it. Let's look at another benefit. It will preserve you, tying into security. Here in Proverbs, Proverbs 13, verse 5, integrity will preserve you. Proverbs 13, and verse 5. "A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner." If you hold to your integrity, it will preserve you if you are blameless. Hold your place here in Proverbs and turn with me quickly to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, we'll read verse 21. Psalm 25, verse 21. Psalm of David, and he writes, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you." Brethren, we can't let someone else's sin cause us to sin. We sometimes have to place it in God's hands and wait for Him to deal with situations or to deal with trials that we have to go through. We can't let it cause us to sin. If we hold to our integrity, it will preserve us. And if we have this attitude of waiting for God when it comes to that, and if it comes to that. Another benefit of integrity is that it will guide you, tying in to preservation. If you go back to Proverbs 11, hopefully you marked it. Proverbs 11, we'll read verses 3 through 6. Solomon talks about integrity guiding us. Proverbs 11, verse 3. "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the faithful will be caught by their lust." The righteousness, the uprightness, the integrity of the upright will deliver them. Integrity will guide you away from the destructiveness of sin. And it will keep you off the path that descends into compounding sins. If you'll hold your place here in Proverbs and turn with me to 1 Chronicles, verse 29. There's a very interesting scripture here in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17, that talks about another benefit of integrity. It pleases God. It pleases God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17. It's right at the end of 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17. These are the words of David as he's addressing the Israelites. He says, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. And we'll come back to David and this subject of integrity. But I wanted to turn to this in this area of how integrity pleases God. Because back in Proverbs, if you held your place, in Proverbs 11, verse 20, we were just in verse 3 and 6 through 6, but now in verse 20, Solomon writes, this is Proverbs 11, verse 20, those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. If you do what you know to be right, as God has given you the ability to know it, if you hold to it, it is a delight to God. And it leads to something else, which is the next benefit, and the last one we'll consider today, and that is that integrity leads to blessings from God. So we see that it pleases God, but it also leads to blessings from God. In Psalm chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 1, all the way at the beginning. We'll read verse 1 through 3. Very famous set of a sequence of scripture here. It said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. God blesses the upright. And those who have come to delight in God's law and to live it, to truly live it. So we see these benefits of security and preservation and guidance, blessings that come from God to those who walk in integrity or uprightness. And we see that it pleases God. You know, David understood the value of integrity, and he was a delight to God. As God said, he was a man after his own heart. If we go back to Psalm, we're here in Psalms, if we go to Psalms 26, verses 1 through 3, David says something here that is very interesting. In Psalms chapter 26, verses 1 through 3, David says, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. David walked wholeheartedly in the truth and in God's law. It was a delight to him. And he was asking God to try his mind and his heart, to prove him, as God looks into our heart and sees what's really there. Could you say that to God? Could you say, God, look in my heart and see what's there, to try my mind and heart and to prove me? And I ask myself as well, are we walking in integrity before God? You know, all of us struggle and fail at times. But are we moving forward? Are we moving forward? What does it take to have integrity? Let's look at some principles that directly apply to integrity. The first one is to be faithful in the smallest matters. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, we'll read the words of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our elder brother. Very famous scripture. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Jesus says, "Who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much." If you can be faithful to do the right thing in the smaller matters, then you will also do it in the big matters. If you can resist stealing a little thing that does not seem to matter, then you can resist stealing the big things. Sometimes it can even be more difficult to resist the small matter that no one sees, like whether you played your golf ball or not, or whether you took a pencil or a pen from your employer, or whether you stole time from your employer, or whether you shaded the truth and no one would know. Are you faithful in the smallest matters? And again, I ask myself these things too, brethren, because that's what we should be striving for, to be faithful in the small matters as well as the big matters. Let's look at another principle relating to integrity. Again, it's based on the words of Jesus Christ, and that is, it is better to give than to receive. You know, in today's world, that almost sounds cliche, doesn't it? But it's a powerful concept. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, you'll turn there quickly, Paul quotes Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35. "I have shown you," Paul writes, "in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And this is a fundamental principle of the converted spirit-led mind, to really believe and to practice that it is better to give than to receive. It's a key principle in acting with integrity. You know, Jesus Christ amplified the Ten Commandments. And he said, if you look at a woman and you lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in your mind. But what about stealing and lying and other commandments? If you truly can act with the principle that it is better to give than to receive, it amplifies the commandments not to steal or to bear false witness or to covet what is not yours, even to honor your parents. It's better to give than to receive. The Holy Spirit, brethren, will bring us to that point to really practice that in our lives, and it's essential to acting with integrity. When you're considering doing something, even if it's small, are you a giver when you're doing it? If you have the mindset of giving above receiving, you will not serve yourself at the cost of unduly taking from others, even like stealing pens or time from your employer. And it requires discipline and power to do this, and we'll talk about that later. Another aspect or principle of acting with integrity is looking to the big picture. We'll turn over here to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Again, the words of Jesus Christ. And again, a very famous scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Looking to the big picture. Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You know, we have an awesome future as spirit beings in God's family, inheriting the universe and helping Him to bring many sons to glory as we will serve in the future. Is this in our minds? Do we think about these things as we consider our behavior, even in the small things? Are we walking in accordance with what we are, sons of God, that will have eternal life and glory with God in the future, and also to serve others? Are we walking in accordance of what we are, even though it does not yet appear what we will be in our fullness in the future, as God's first fruits and as servants to Him and to others? And this perspective should change how we look at people and situations, even little things. Are we acting in accordance with what we are? Are we looking to the big picture and what's out there in the future and how that changes our perspective and how it should change it? Hold your place here in Matthew. Let's look at another principle that relates to integrity, and that is striving to be pure. If you go back with me to Psalm chapter 101, Psalm chapter 101, we'll read verses 1 through 4. Psalm 101. In verse 1 through 4, Psalm of David, I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. We are to strive for purity and perfection in our own minds. Not setting wicked things before your eyes, but pushing wicked and perverse things out of your mind. And as Carl mentioned in the sermon at Mr. Rothenbacher, being careful what you allow into your mind. Hating wickedness and resolving not to know it. And this includes not twisting or shading the truth, which is so easy to do. Not allowing ourselves to be caught up in subtle manipulation and deception like the world is. It requires controlling what goes into our minds and what we allow to dwell there. Do we strive for purity in our thoughts and our actions? And are we truly consistent? This is difficult in this society that we live in, which is getting worse and worse. But are we trying to be pure? Are we trying? And again, it requires power. But there is power available to us. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Back in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, if you held your place in Matthew, again, Jesus Christ has something to say about purity. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we'll talk about seeing God a little bit later. But are we striving to have a pure heart? Or do we have the opinion that these smaller things don't matter that much? or these little things don't matter that much. And I can allow things into my mind because it doesn't affect me. Are we striving to be pure in heart? And then finally, brethren, another principle relating to integrity that we'll consider today is holding fast. If you'll turn with me to Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27, we'll read verses 4 through 6. Job was sorely tried. Of course, he went through a horrible trial that God allowed to come upon him for a purpose. And Job's friends, of course, talked to him, and they weren't much help, were they? Job's own wife was saying, just curse God and die. Just get it over with. Blame God. But in verse 4 of Job 27, Job says, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Far be it from me that I should say you are right, referring to his friends. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. Job held fast to his integrity to do the right thing as he knew it to be, so his heart would not reproach him, because he knew in his heart what the right thing to do was, and if he didn't do it, that his own heart would reproach him. It's just like with Babe Zacharias, the professional golfer, saying that I would have known if I wouldn't have penalized myself for those two strokes. I would have known in my own heart. Are we willing to hold fast to our integrity no matter what happens, no matter what distress we have to go through? Will we be true to our own heart, true to what is right? And this requires power that we'll discuss a little bit later. So we've seen these principles relating to integrity, of being faithful in the smallest matters, that it's better to give than to receive, of looking to the big picture, and striving to be pure, and holding fast to what you know is right and being true to your heart. So how can we develop integrity? How can we grow in integrity? The first point that I have in how we can develop integrity is to love God with all of your heart. Again, in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, we'll go back to the words again of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. He is actually quoting himself from the Old Testament. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This is the first commandment. To love God with all that we have, with all of our being, with all of our mind. To love God more than everything and everyone else. And more than every situation as well. To begin to love God more than even this physical life itself, Do you love God that much? Do you love God more than everything else? And I ask myself that as well. Do you ask God to help you to love Him with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength? Because it will lead to integrity. The next point is to strive to truly obey God consistently. And there's that word again, consistently. In John chapter 14, verse 15, if you'll turn there with me, please. In John chapter 14, verse 15. Again, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." See, if you love God, you will obey God. You will try to obey Him because you want to. Because you want to. Ask God to help you to love Him so that you can obey and that you can become increasingly consistent. That you can keep what you know to be right and you can hold fast to it. In Psalm 119, if you'll turn there with me again to the writings of David, in Psalm 119, and we'll read verses 1 through 2. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. Oh, brethren, do we have this mind in us to obey God when we face difficult problems and situations? Do we really seek God when perhaps there's confusion or emotion or something else involved? Do we seek God in prayer and even in fasting in situations and in trials that we go through? Do we ask God to help us to see what we should do so that we can obey Him because we love Him and want to do the right thing and want to hold our integrity? Do we do that? Let's consider another point in developing integrity, and that is to be hungry and thirsty. To be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. We won't turn there, but let's turn to, while I'm talking here, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. But we just read in Matthew 6, verse 33, where Jesus said that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Are we trying to develop God's righteousness? Are we going to God in repentance so that we can be righteous when we are wiped clean and forgiven because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Are we seeking the kingdom and His righteousness in our life? But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, again in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Do you and I truly hunger and thirst for righteousness, to walk in it, even in the little things? Do you desire that? so that you can walk in integrity. Ask God to help you to be hungry and thirsty in this way. The fourth point is to yield your will to God's will as we seek integrity. To yield your will to God's will. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Do we have this mind in us, brethren, that we must suffer at times, if necessary, to avoid sin and to follow God's will? You know, this is a lifelong process, to have this mind in you, to develop this mind, to become more and more like Jesus Christ and the mind that he had. You know, Jesus dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. He and God the Father dwell within us. Are we willing to suffer, if need be, to do God's will? Are we willing to sacrifice if need be? Are we willing to yield our will to God's will? Are we willing to be a servant of God? Are we? In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, Paul talks about this concept to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read verses 5 through 6. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. We must be yielding to God more and more as we develop spiritually. In this way, brethren, we're servants of God and we're servants of others. And this can be difficult at times. And it can require us to love God more than everything, including ourselves. It requires God to be at the center of our lives. And it requires something else, which is our next point. We must learn to truly trust God. Let's look at one scripture. There's a very powerful scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. It is a very well-used scripture, but we need to look at it. We need to look at it now and then. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6. Because it ties into yielding to God by learning to trust God, to truly trust him. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You know, we've been told, love God with all of your heart. And now we're told, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And we can be sorely tempted at times to break our integrity. And we can even think that we're justified, since there may be other sins involved from other people and other situations. We can justify about anything in our mind. We can lean to our own understanding and let our judgment be clouded Or we can just not understand what's really going on. And sometimes, brethren, we just have to leave it in God's hands, to trust Him to handle it in His time frame. To just let go and let God do it when it comes to that point. To realize that there may be more to something than we can see. But God sees everything and knows everything. He truly sees the big picture. And I'm not minimizing this. This can be extremely difficult at times. But we must learn to truly trust God, no matter what happens. Because it's an important part of acting with integrity. We must internalize that our understanding may be flawed and can lead us to sin. But if we can truly trust God, truly trust Him and ask Him to help us to trust Him, then you know what? He will direct us, as He says here. He will direct our paths and He will lead us. And when we read in His Word where it says that everything will work out to those who love God, we truly believe it, that it will in the end. Maybe not right away, but it will in the end. Our last point, use the power that is available to you. Use the power. I've already alluded to this several times in this message, that it requires power to do these things, to hold fast to your integrity, and to do the right thing no matter what. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, if you'll turn there, please, to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Paul is speaking to the Ephesians. We've already been reading in this chapter about being servants of God and doing God's will. And now we see how we can do these things, brethren, and hold our integrity. Finally, my brethren, in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the power of God, God's Holy Spirit that is within you, that brought you to understand the truth, the power that has changed your life and changed my life, the power that can and will sustain you to endure what we must go through until the end of this phase of our life and our existence. To give us the power to overcome sin and to resist sin, to hold our integrity, to develop the mindset, the character of God, to resist sin and to not justify it, to hold our integrity so that we can be strong leaders that everyone wants to follow, as Dr. Cohen said. Strong in God's power and eventually in full righteousness in the future when we become spirit beings. But can you hold fast to your integrity now? And I ask myself this as well. Because you can't do it by your own strength, but you can with God's power if you will let it, if you will ask God to help you. If you'll ask God to give you more of His power and the desire to use it to resist sin and to be an example to others, to be a leader that everyone wants to follow, to be a light to others. Ask God to help you to use His power according to His will, that His will would be done in you, His will for you personally. That power is available. We need to use it. Well, in conclusion, brethren, this subject of integrity is critically important. Unlike most in the world, we are to strive to walk in integrity, to be faithful in even the smallest matters, to be givers first and foremost in true service to others, including forgiving others when necessary, to increasingly have the perspective of the big picture, the kingdom of God, and how fantastic that future will be, but also the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to strive for purity of thoughts and actions, especially in a degrading world and culture that we live in, and to hold fast to do the right thing, to walk according to what we are, sons of God at this time, but it does not yet appear what we shall become. And you know, all of us struggle with these things. We all struggle with them, and none of us walk perfectly. But are we getting better? Do we want to get better? Do we desire it? Are we growing in integrity, which also means growing in our spiritual character? Today we've looked at six things we need to do to grow in integrity. And they're not new to us. All of them are familiar concepts from God's Word. But are we dedicated to them? Right now, we are moving against a strong current that is the influence of this world and the things of this world and the culture and all the things that we are bombarded with on a daily basis. We're also moving against the flow of the God of this world, who will send wrong attitudes to us if we allow it. We're also moving against the flow of our own emotions and passions that can influence us. We must be growing in our walk in integrity, or we will be swept away. At times it can be terribly difficult to hold our integrity and to do the right thing, as we are sorely pressured and tempted to give in to the flow. But God tells us that we're different, that we are His, that we are His sons now. And as sons, we have access to the very power that we need to strengthen us and to comfort us while we are in the flow. Can we trust God? Can we truly trust Him when He says that all things will eventually work out? Can we trust God? So bottom line comes down to this. Are we truly willing to submit ourselves, our will, to God's will? Are we willing? We need to be developing this mindset in us that was in Jesus Christ, our elder brother, so that when the pressure increases in the future, and it will, and it may become extremely intense, depending on how close we are to the end, we will hold strong with God's help and His power within us, that we'll hold fast to our integrity and do the right thing no matter what happens, no matter what happens. And God will help us, and He'll be with us because He loves us. We need to love Him with all of our heart. Let's finish in Psalm chapter 41 in verse 12. Psalm chapter 41 in verse 12, our last scripture. It's a psalm of David. And he says, "As for me, you, God, uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever." And that's where this is all going, brethren, to be with God forever and to be with each other and all humans and all people that will repent. But God says, "I'll uphold you in your integrity. I'll give you the power and the strength to do it. And you'll be with me forever." Let's all of us hold fast to our integrity, and we will be with God forever.